Hi, everybody, and good evening here from our little bear meditation center north of the Arctic Circle, quite a bit, actually. And yeah, there's some interesting ideas about the Arctic Circle. And of course, in our little bear center, we seem to have a lot of little bears. Standing on pillars outside the little cabin. So Polaris is close, the brilliant star of direction, a supergiant star, really. And quite overhead, and the northern lights are demonstrating. And maybe sometime you'll have a chance to come up here for some intensive meditation work and just enjoying the natural beauty of the area. We're working here on the glamour of hatred. I guess one has only to look at the weather, and as students of occultism, we seem to know, or have been told at least, that the condition of the human consciousness, the quality and intensity of human thought and its negativity can adversely affect the elements. We have the elements in an unsettled state, danger from wind and water, and I was talking to Brett, fires in the west of the United States and maybe other places, and an earthquake has a very powerful earthquake hitting Mexico and Central America, that area. So there's going to be a great disturbance of the elements. Of course, part of this, in a way, is the Christ force approaching. And the old saying found in the healing laws and rules is that good draws evil to the surface. So the disruption is under Pluto is to be expected. Pluto is that particular planet which drags the dregs within the aura, whether it's the aura of the individual or the aura of humanity, to the surface for reckoning. So much is hidden in our natures, which we don't even suspect, and that has been the quest of depth psychology, to dig into these things that we don't see about ourselves, and maybe other people see them. But when the flood of soul energy is released into the mind and stirs up the astral nature, many things come to the surface which were ill expected. Of course, that brings us to the subject of glamour, which those involved hardly suspect. It's best to be maybe a little suspicious of oneself, if you think you're free of all glamours. The interesting thing is, suspicion itself can be a glamour. He says suspicion and criticism and self-pity are the three roots of glamour. Suspicion goes along with the first ray, self-pity with the second ray, and criticism with the third ray, which doesn't mean that the other rays don't have their tendencies. Tonight's program may be just a little shorter. We are also preparing in the Blue Rose Sisterhood for the day on which the birth of Mary is traditionally celebrated. And in the chat box is the address, if some of you, the link, if some of you would like to join us and see what it might be all about. It's very linked with Venus and with the development of the Christ force in the consciousness and the unfoldment of the causal body through the various kinds of powers and virtues which we must assimilate. And of course, it's not just for women. The men can apply themselves along the Shiva line, the great archetypal first ray line. So if you'd like to join us in the broadcast, about a half hour or maybe 45 minutes after we stop here, we'll be broadcasting some meditative work as we do once a year at this time. The true Mary is actually the personality of the earth, and the Assumption of the Virgin is the rising up of the purified material nature toward the soul. And it is something we all have to go through. Of course, we're speaking in allegories and we're speaking in symbolic terms, but all the while we have to take care of the purification of the personality nature within our consciousness and within our being. And that is part of the story here of the relationship of the symbolically of the Christ force and the Mary force, or the soul of our planet and the personality of our planet, getting them into union, getting the integration going, getting the soul infusion going, and developing that causal body which will distinguish us from the ordinary human being who does not deliberately cultivate virtues. So, you know, usually we have private sessions, but this particular time, if you'd like to join us, you're quite welcome. Let's just link with each other on the plane of soul, or as the soul-infused personality. We're all of us in that process, soul-infusing personalities, we might say. And we're going to offer ourselves as an instrument to help, restore harmony and unity to the human consciousness. So I'll be we'll be thinking of each other in that way, the human consciousness reflecting unity and harmony and balance. We understand that the Buddhas of activity, three of them, whose symbol is a triangle, are very much related to Libra, and that the sign of true balance is the triangle. The symbol of true balance is the triangle. Well, we can help, I think, with our Triangles Network, help rid the world of the terrible exaggerations and minimizations that affect human consciousness at this time, so we have a lack of proportional vision. We need proportional vision that comes in under Libra, and Libra is one of those very, very important signs for the dissipation of glamour. It's very important. A lot of the glamour is dissipated before the second initiation, but not all of it, certainly. And there are even some residual kinds of glamour illusions after the third degree, so we have a lot of work to do. Anyway, we offer ourselves in the service of the hierarchy for the dissipation of glamour. And in this case, we're working against that that type of Martian violence, you know, from a planet less sacred than our own, which creates tremendous cleavages between the brothers. You know, we're all in brotherhood here in the monad, and yet down in the lower worlds, all these cleavages exist, largely due to the Martian vibration, which rules the every vehicle of the personality and its desires. So we have to bring all that under control. Om. We have a few readings, you know. I've been collecting some things that DK has said. We're going to go read mostly in the book, The Destiny of the Nations. Not so many readings, but a few. And this is the thing, the one great heresy, you know, which is a truly incorrect method of thinking and a truly incorrect orientation of the consciousness, is that which we call the heresy, the great heresy of separateness. It's probably, you know, the major illusion from which the human being suffers, not only at this time, but all throughout history. Now, maybe we have a chance to overcome that a little bit, and significantly so in the future. See, if we had our original monadic consciousness at this level of our immersion into matter, well, we would not be victims of the great heresy of separateness and the resultant kind of repulse or hatred that occurs when we find others who apparently get in our way when we want to accomplish what our desire body wants. If we were in monadic consciousness, it would be tremendously inclusive, not only inclusive of others, but it would have that great quality that Christ has come to teach, and which is initially really cultivated between the second and third initiations. It would be the ability to identify, the quality of identification. So we would know not only unity, but we would know oneness. But then here comes ignorance, which is produced by the extension of the monad into more and more restricted circumstances. And those circumstances are self-chosen. And so, in a way, the monad, which is our true being consciousness, chooses to see less and less of what it is, of what is on these lower levels. And so we get very circumscribed in the sense of our identity until we begin to think that the personality with which we are rather familiar is our true self. That happens through the circumscription of identity. Now we have to get beyond that and start breaking those rings past not until we are restored to the unity of soul consciousness, and finally to the oneness perception and realization of the monad, which continues to grow as the monad takes its great journeys outside the planet and outside the solar system, and on until the final and originating point is reached. So when we find that we're very identified with the tiny little ring past not we call the personality, we know that something's wrong with our sense of identity. We have a problem with mistaken identity, and hatred arises because we want what we want when we want it, and we perceive that others are in the way of our personality desires, which is, as far as we're concerned, our real identity. All of that has to change. And DK is working on helping to change that. A few paragraphs here, some of which, if you're a student in the Arcane School, you'll recognize some of these paragraphs brought in as important from DK. The new group of world servers is not a new organization. Matter of fact, it's an organism, really, which is forming in the world. It is simply a loose linking of all men of constructive peace, aims, and goodwill, who lay the emphasis upon the prior need of establishing right human relations before any lasting peace is possible. We get so many different formulas for peace, but I suppose at the Peace University in Costa Rica, which the wonderful man Robert Mueller was so instrumental in founding, years of study go into the building of the peace, and finally we realize it ends up being a psychological issue. For each one of us, if we manage the peace within and the allegiance to soul values, then we are in good shape to help promote peace in the world. So this, we're not dealing with an organization, it's an organism, and we cannot go in there and super organize it the way some people might like to do. Its strength is in its loose connections with each other based upon the principles of the soul. So we have to first establish right human relations in our own little sphere. Then we can work for the peace in the world. And as DK says, this group in no way interferes with the allegiance and loyalties of any man. So it's about soul values, and it's about the link of people who have love and goodwill for humanity according to the soul values they've been able to contact and realize. Now, this is that, I think, quite a well-known statement. It is a banding together of all who seek to express the spirit of the Christ. This is not about some sort of strict religion to which you have to give believing adherence, you know, as we find in its worst examples in fundamentalism in various religions. It's a banding together of all those who seek to express the spirit of the Christ and who are free from the spirit of hatred and revenge, you know. Libra is a wonderful sign, but there's also that old saying, don't get mad, get even, you know. So the revenge factor is there, the perverse satisfaction of revenge, of doing harm to the one that you perceive has harmed you. So this, we've been told that hatred is a great glamour, the great glamour of hatred. And I want to say, you know, based upon the lack of ability to see oneself in others and to realize that the other person is, in fact, really oneself. The other soul is oneself. The other monad, well, there are no other monads. There's only one, you know, but it is oneself. The challenge of this group to the world, and this is the one I think a number of Arcane School conferences have been offered on this theme. The challenge to this group, of this group to the world, is to drop all antagonisms and antipathies, all hatred and racial differences, and attempt to live in terms of the one family, the one life, and the one humanity. Externalization, page 205. Well, that's the tall order, given the kind of antagonisms and antipathies that we have even in families, you know, let alone communities and nations and internationally. But we have to drop all these things, realizing they are of an inferior quality and a corruption placed upon otherwise loving consciousness of the soul. We have to see where they come from, and it's usually going to be from not valuing the other person's point of view and thinking that you're little ego, my little ego, are supreme in some ways and must be gratified. But our ring pass not through many disappointments. Our ring pass not breaks, expands, and we realize we were living according to a relatively benighted consciousness. Just a few things here. I would here point out that real group love never, never demonstrates as hatred of the individual. Well, all right, what does he mean here? It may work out as the arresting of the individual's activities or enterprises where that is deemed desirable in the interests of the whole, and if he is doing, and if what he is doing is estimated as harmful for the good of the group. I mean, sometimes a person has to be, as it were, called to order, and this can happen on the personal or group or national or international theater. So this stopping of a direction which is destructive to the welfare of the whole may have to be accomplished, but this is not the same as hatred of the individual. You know, the Christ said, condemn the sin, but not the sinner. So we still have a way to go with that, to love the enemy, as it were, apparent enemy anyway. So anyway, this arresting, this stoppage of a harmful stream of activity or thought will not be destructive. And this is important, realizing it may be for the benefit of the one who temporarily is aligned with a destructive stream of energy. It will be educational and developing in its results. And probably if the individual or groups or nations who are going in the wrong direction and disrupting the harmony of the whole, if they were not stopped, the result would be not educational and would not lead to their unfoldment. One thinks of Germany, which obviously headed off in the wrong direction in the latter part of the Great War that DK says lasted from 1914 to 1945. And, you know, you look at Germany now and it's come much more under the impress of its fourth-ray soul. And I was reading the other day, a question was wondering whether Angela Merkel, as the long-term, is it chancellor? I'm not sure what the title is, but she's effectively the leader. Is she really assuming the moral leadership for the West? Whereas so often the United States at least has been presumed to assume that role. So there has been a beneficent turn in that country and in other countries that were stopped in their tracks. And some people may have to be stopped in their tracks, but it doesn't have anything to do with virulent repulsion, hatred of the nation or the group. It is corrective, we would say. A few more things here. Most of the response to the Shambhala activity is characterized by fear and terror. I guess we don't understand that. And, you know, he tells us how often, unfortunately, first-rate people are hated. They're misunderstood and they're hated because of the way they apply themselves to the forcing of circumstances. He says that's the way to go. You don't force people so much as you force circumstances, and then the people have to conform to the evident good in the forced circumstance. And that puts pressure on people, and a lot of people like their comfort zones very much and would like to retain them. So the Shambhala activity has to be very, very measured as it is applied to humanity, and lately it has really been applied, you know, 1825, and well, there was the whole question of the war, was that the application of Shambhala, but the impact occurred, I think there was 1975, the year 2000, you can kind of think of 2025, it looks like a Shambhala impact. Am I forgetting something around 1950? Anyway, a great decision was made around that time of by Chohans who were members of Shambhala. So Shambhala impacts and the decisions by the Chohans to help Sanat Kumara in some way, they're very similar, and Shambhala has to exquisitely measure its application, its interference, so to speak, divine interference in human affairs. So it becomes, in a way, the power which touches and withdraws. That's one of the great first-ray names, and it can't hold the finger of fate in there too long, otherwise the form is destroyed. So we have to ask ourselves how we respond to the will. You know, is it fear, is it terror, or is it exhilaration, or is it somehow just acceptance? What is it? Okay, or by sensitivity and distressingly developed reactions to the forces of hate and separation. Only a few here and there, and may we be increasingly numbered among them, really grasp the vision of the future, which destructive Shambhala provides because it breaks up all of our illusions and misconceptions. Really grasp the vision of the future and realize what is going on, seeing the true beauty of the emerging plan. And we ask ourselves, you know, to what extent do I, or do my groups see the true beauty of the emerging plan? DK calls it the wonder of the divine plan. And I think in reading his books and some of the prophecies which he offers, we begin to see what will emerge. You know, the timing is pretty much in our hands, but it's intended, what the new age really can be in this wonderful synthetic sign Aquarius. It is with these few, may we be numbered among them, that the members of the hierarchy can work, because they, even when lacking understanding, and that certainly applies to us, doesn't it, bear no ill will or hatred to others. Bear no ill will or hatred to others. And unfortunately, you know, ill will and hatred are sometimes unconscious reactions, and we don't even realize we have them. He discusses a little bit farther down here one of his disciples who would never admit to her rather strong hatred of what the Germans had done in the war, but he called her attention to it. Love is a great unifier and interpreter. There's the Mercurian word, and there's the planet of pure reason, particularly Mercury, ruling an aspect of the Buddhic plane. So we're not going to go backwards here, and we're not going to have that artificial repulsion based upon the way that external factors seem to inhibit our desires. When our desires are inhibited or in some way thwarted, there's no reason to hate the thwarting party. We have to understand, we have to interpret and find a way to unify with the best aspects of those factors which seem to thwart us. That's a tall order, I know. Okay, another from the Destiny of the Nations. You might ask, how can this collective impressing, we're talking about hierarchy impressing human consciousness, go on and yet leave a man free? Because, you know, we're told that the hierarchy is not allowed under the Syrian law of freedom to touch the center of the will. It may be that the Black Lodge, working under Pluto and Mars and some aspects of Saturn, seeks to compel the will of others and enslave them. But according to the Syrian law of freedom, kind of a Uranian law in a way, the initiate functioning under that Syrian stream is just not allowed to compel the center of the will. And so how can hierarchy impress and the man be free? It says, because it will be kept clear of all directed will force. You know, in other words, I can't force you to do anything. Hierarchy cannot force you to do anything. It invites you. Sometimes when you read Master Moria, you get the feeling that he's saying, okay, when I say jump, jump, when I say run, run, okay, but even there, it's obviously an invitation to the wise to do what the master indicates as best. All that workers and disciples in my groups will seek to do, and that's who we are, is to impress certain minds with the outlines or suggestions as to the plan. I mean, we're not forcing enslavement, you know. When you look at North Korea sometimes and you see the regimentation of that society, which has now gone pretty rogue, you might say. Interesting about the word rogue, because it has red and has Mars in it. You see you see smile and clap or you die, you know. So there is that extreme pressure for conformity. So, but we are asked to impress certain minds, the qualified minds, with the outlines or suggestions as to the plan. And these ideas will deal particularly with the concept that, and here's our point, isn't it? Separation is a thing of the past, a long thing and a long past, and that unity is the goal of the immediate future. So, you know, Aquarius is the sign of universalization. Unity is on the way to universalization, a realization that the soul of humanity is one being. There are many spiritually occult factors which have to make their way into the human consciousness, and that the separation and the search for exclusive privilege over others, and the suppression of others so that you can have more that satisfies your desire body, all of that is very, very old. So hatred then is considered retroactive. I think we should impress our minds with that. Hatred is considered retroactive and undesirable, and the goodwill is the touchstone which will transform the world. What is goodwill? We've been told many times, love in action. Well, let's see. Okay, maybe one more paragraph, and then we'll get into, if you have some questions or thoughts, etc., we'll look at that. And I've sometimes thought, you know, that we have these glamour webinars, participation of glamour webinars in English, and but some of you may feel that you are in a position to help the nationals of your country in their own language understand more of these things if they don't speak English, and so we can talk about what the possibilities are there. We certainly need to attack this issue of glamour in the right way, because it, you know, it's really an understatement to say it's a world problem. It's a huge world problem, and I believe it's even affecting the elements and even the, you know, the nature and the response of Mother Nature. I may have mentioned it, but when I saw the name Irma for this incredible hurricane that is now occurring in Category 5, and it's just immense, and Miami is perhaps going to be a direct hit here. I looked at IR, and it said, well, that's the word ire, I-R-E, ire, the anger of Ma, or Irma, anger of the mother. And then I thought of Kali and the dark goddess, and how there is a great rebellion against all that is not really pure. Nature is meant to be pure and meant to be redeemed according to second solar system standards. So I thought, well, you know, we're we're getting quite a show here of the reaction of the elemental nature, elemental forces of nature. I mean, three hurricanes in the Atlantic at the same time, and now Hurricane Jose has strengthened to a Category 4 hurricane. Maybe it'll go out to sea, people say, but let's just see. It's a lesson if we can see what our effect may be on the elements. And as a magician, as a white magician, and we will be trained in white magic as we go along, we're really going to have to regard the elements with seriousness. Otherwise, they will rebel against us, and as it is said, the magician will be killed, you know. It's quite possible that that would happen. It's just requires utmost caution and purity of motive and so forth. So in these Virgo times, we've just had the full moon. You know, the whole idea of the purification of the elements is so extremely important. And the realization that we can have the raging mother aspect if energies and forces are reaching the elements which do not belong there. Okay. So anyway, in this time of stress and strain, my brothers, and well, we're still there. It hasn't stopped. I would remind you that there is no need for the sense of futility or for the registration of littleness. We just inhibit our own power and our possible effectiveness. We have that kind of attitude. The new groups of disciples are seed groups. You know, DK gives 10 of them right around page 40 in Discipleship in the New Age, and they use different chakras and they have different tasks, and it's a 275-year project in which I think so many of us will be involved. Seed groups, they are in the dark or growing stage and in the process of expansion. growing silently. This stage, of course, you know, he was talking there back in the 40s. This stage is most important, for according to the healthiness of the seed and its ability to cast strong roots downwards and to penetrate slowly, you know, the wise use of slow action, and steadily upwards towards the light. It's amazing how plants do seek the light, you know. So will be the adequacy of the contribution to the new age which is upon us. Now, you know, in our various methods of service, we're going to find most probably one line of service for us in one or more of the new C groups. In the groups we tend to teach, I would say psychology is very important, and the New World religion and esoteric healing. I mean, those C groups are very important. And now we're dealing with, here in the Glamour group, the discussion of the trained observers of reality, you know, to see through illusion, glamour, and Maya. I would emphasize that fact to you. The new age is upon us, and we are witnessing the birth pangs of the new culture and new civilization. That which is old, okay, let me get down here. That which is old and undesirable must go, and of these undesirable things, hatred and the spirit of separativeness or separateness must be the first to disappear. Well, you know how a person can be consumed by hatred. Maybe you've had experiences with that particular emotion and the thoughts that go along with it, and you know how distressing it can be upon your chakra system and how literally it can make you sick. I've seen people consumed by their unwarranted hatred, and it works out in their body and their psyche, and it just is a huge delaying force for them and a disrupting force for others. So let us be quite scrupulous in self-examination so we can see whether, unbeknownst to ourselves, this spirit of hatred somehow lives in us, and the various ways we might be separative. I'm recalling in Esoteric Psychology 2, he says that the first ray and fifth ray type, I think he means souls, have a real problem with this, and they can make themselves so isolated by this that they become untouchable. And he says, you know, the 2, 4, 6 types, they kind of brood on their thoughts until they're ready for a great revelation, either for good or for ill. And the third ray and sixth ray types, looks like six is more involved, quite involved there, more than once, try to impose their thoughts upon others. And you know that the seventh ray, of course, is notorious for demanding regimentation of others according to their own design. So those are psychopathologies, and hatred is among the most serious of them. Okay, so this is probably as far as we'll go with our readings right now. And I would just ask you now if you have any thoughts that you would like to bring forward, thoughts or statements or questions. This would be the time to do it. As I said, because we have a service meditation coming up for the Blue Rose Sisterhood, to which I am inviting you, if you would like to come. Tuya, I talked it over with Tuya, and this is one of the unusual events of the year because it does celebrate a sort of traditional birth of Mary, meaning the focus is on the elemental nature of the personality of humanity and purifying that nature and having it reveal the Christ force. So the great purpose here in the sisterhood, which has its brothers too, is to reveal the Christ spirit through matter and to contribute to the assumption of the Virgin and the glorification of matter and its purification. We all need that. It's done in the allegorical language, and it consults various traditions, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian, and so forth. It's quite, universal in that respect. We all have to see to the purification of our material nature under the presence and guidance of the soul. And eventually, of course, the will will enter, the monad will be involved, and the father aspect will make its appearance through the soul-infused form. Okay. So, do you have anything you would like to state or
Yeah.
ask? Or, yes, Brett? Yes.
Michael has
Okay.
his hand up.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Brett. Okay, Michael, go ahead. Your mic is hot. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Michael, for bringing forward these quotes from the DK books. They're speaking very loudly, clearly to me about the need for unity rather than uniformity. That as we see these weather occurrences and earthquakes and so forth occurring, to be involved in our own thoughts, in our own emotional life, to remove fear, because fear can be such an endemic thing among the world in general with these things going on. There's all these things going on as within me as you're reading these quotations.
Thanks, Michael, for your responses there. DK said about fear that it is the greatest of the, well, it essentially is the dweller on the threshold as far as our planet is concerned and humanity. And it's not just in humanity. The fear reaction sort of borrowed from the psychological disease of the moon and the moon chain affects the animal kingdom as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if other kingdoms are not affected by it as well. So Master Moria says an interesting thing. He says the Black Lodge considers it to be a very worrying sign when they see a disciple who is fearless. So, in other words, a fearless disciple might just do anything and follow through, and so they consider it not a good sign when they see such an individual.
I
And they.
think if we look at the animal kingdom particularly and the plant kingdom as well, we can, if we look closely, see their responses to fear.
We will see the recoil. We will see the
Yes.
recall. And of course, if we go back far enough, at least in terms of the mammal evolution, we will understand that man was the microcosm or macrocosm to animal form and behavior. And that so many of the human states, at least according to the secret doctrine, were passed on in formation to the animals that were being formed and evolved at the time. So we are a little more responsible for animal reactions than we normally think. And then, of course, that gets into the whole question of the interrelation between the Lord of the human kingdom and the Lord of the animal kingdom, which is apparently, maybe it's getting better now, but it wasn't, it was filled with a lot of warfare and acrimony, and it was difficult. So we have a lot of responsibility in the way the animals react. I guess that's my main point.
Yeah,
And
and
as we start to get, yeah, go ahead.
we have an opportunity to change that.
I think it's coming. It's coming. A lot of the karma has been paid. We've been told he didn't go into the details, but we certainly have to use the fifth ray now to educate the animal kingdom so that it can begin to approximate individualization, which occurs to a great extent under the fifth ray. So, we're on our way, and hopefully the Aquarian Age will see in the domestication of all kinds of animals a real improvement for them. I hope so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Okay, anybody further thoughts, folks? You're most welcome to express what you may think. Or question. Yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I certainly give it the old college try, So I think, we really need to search ourselves deeply psychological penetration into one's own psyche is maybe not as thoroughgoing as it should be. I'm told the story, you know, is it true or not? Probably is true, about Assagioli when he was passing on, you know, on his deathbed, so to speak. And he said to those who were carrying on his work, make sure they do their personal work. Meaning that, you know, you get a lot of spiritual aspirants and disciples who think that that's quite enough, and they don't really examine their own psyche, which can be filled with the vestiges of the ages and so many things that are just not yet right or corrected, and which will come up and thwart them, or may do so unconsciously if they're not aware of it. So make sure we do our personal work. There's nothing. I've got friends and fellow disciples who say to me, "Oh, that's just personal. It doesn't have anything to do with the higher aspects of discipleship. You know, you're just talking about the path of probation." But okay, let's make sure that we actually do take care of the foundation, because all of success in our occultism is based upon good character. And I know we can all find in our nature and our character places where maybe we haven't demonstrated good character, and we have to. So that's the foundation. And just because you've moved on to some of the more advanced thoughts in occultism, it doesn't mean that you can forget the foundations that help to support you and lead you there. Okay, anything further before we get into our little and powerful meditation, you know? We've got enough material to keep us going for a long, long time. Like Master DK says, the glamours of humanity are legion, meaning they're almost like numberless. And sometimes, you know, he's so sharp. Like in Discipleship in the New Age, he says, well, you have a very unusual glamour. I don't know exactly how to name this, but, and then he describes it and so forth. They're very individual matters, the kind of mixes that we have made according to our past and according to our energy endowment. And the master tries to help us put our finger on it so we can correct these things. So we certainly have enough material to keep us going a long time as we try, strive for the clarification of consciousness. Clarification of our own consciousness, clarification of assisting those around us if we possibly can, without falling into glamour as we try to do so, you know, impose our will, and eventually the clarification of the community and national and international consciousness. This is what we're struggling towards, and it'll take a few hundred years, I do believe. It'll take a while. It'll take a while. Okay. Okay. All right, friends. So look, that's good in a way. It's good because, like I say, we have Tui and I are doing quite a few programs here. You know, it's quite amazing. I'll just say, although it's more pertaining to the Blue Rose Sisterhood, I don't know who designed the calendar. It's probably a church calendar of old, but it turns out that the Day of Assumption, you know, which is DK talks about this, the rising of virgin matter up into the sphere of the soul. Between that, which is traditionally around August, I think it's August 15th, Tuya talks about this, but I picked it up, you know, to September 8th, there's exactly 24 days. That's the number of Shambhala. And if we should be talking about this tonight. And if we go from the traditional celebrated Virgo birth of Mary. See, the rising into the sun is celebrated in Leo, which is fitting. And, you know, if anybody is a prototype, archetype of the sign Virgo, it's the Mary disciple. Well, you know, September 8th. And if we go to Christmas, to the birth of the sun, we have 108. The number is 108. And that amazing number is always showing up in relation to the head center, in relation to the Hindu religion. It is one of those mystical numbers which holds a great lesson for humanity. As a matter of fact, look, we've been told that 105 kumaras came from the Venus globe of the Venus chain to the Venus globe of the Earth chain, and thence to the Earth globe of the Earth chain. 105. That's Sanat Kumara plus 104. But if we include the eight, the three esoteric Buddhas of activity, we've got the number 108. 105 plus 3. So it has a profound connection to the structure of the hierarchy as a founding, redeeming body. And, you know, probably the mysteries connected with 108 and the head center are going to be, you know, very, very interestingly unfolded in the future. So numerology is indispensable in these studies. Yes. Okay. Is that it? All right. All right.
Yeah. That's all for now.
That's it. Okay. That's all for now. That's all, folks. All right. That's all. All right. So, like I said, you know, we want to spread this this type of meditation among those who can do it, you know, and are willing to do their own glamour work. For the individual glamours, we want this to be widespread, you know. Of course, there's dangers involved in it. We talked about those, you know, and the protective formula that is needed, but we have to reach people in various languages, so do think about that. And not everybody necessarily can speak English, and we have to reach those who can. I hear we have nationals from many countries, and you all speak English, and therefore I can speak to you, at least. But we have to reach many for whom English is not a possibility. So let's see what we can do about that as we go along. All right, so here we go. So we are here, more than 30 of us, and we think of ourselves in the group formation, wherever we may be located geographically. And in a few moments of silence, we deepen our connection as an instrument to help the masters and help humanity. If we were doing this in the small groups, of course, we would follow the instructions implicitly. But in the silence, the power grows, and our cohesion grows, our unity grows, our integration. And now, since this is a serious work, I found out the hard way on this one. We use the protective formula of the Divine Cross involving the eyes. And we say the following in unison together. And we, as we do so, we make this cross of divinity, as DK calls it. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. So you see this cross radiating, it continues to radiate. As you're doing this work, as a soul, I work in light and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. And then we prepare for our work. It should be, you know, almost second nature now. We're uniting the light of matter and of mind. It's particularly the etheric physical vitality lifted up onto the lower mental plane where it joins the light of lower mind. Vitalized, active understanding mind, dual light. And then we meditate on soul contact and the recognition of soul light. Soul light is substantial to the entire personality. It's a real factor, and we want to make it real to ourselves. And now we bring that soul light down to join the two other blended lights and fuse them together on the plane of mind, imaginatively considered. Now there is a triple light, but the triple light is one light. And we will say together, aware of its implications for the revelation of the intuition, which dispels illusion just as the beam of focused light dissipates glamour, we say, the light is one, and in that light we shall see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. As we're thinking about the effect of this triple light and how it can reveal a further light, we remember that the light of day is that particular light associated with the sign Scorpio, the major sign for the overcoming of glamour, and the ruler of the Buddhic plane, where really the light of day does begin to appear. Before that, it's all the lower 21 subplanes, which is not a cosmic principle. They are not a cosmic principle. They are the dense physical body of the solar logos. Then we move into the formula, and we see ourselves, you know, we are a linking bridge here. Between the world of the soul and this rather customary world of glamour in which so much of Kama monastic humanity seems to live. So we say together, and we see the searchlight being activated, our individual and group searchlight being activated out onto the astral plane. As we say, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth. The inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. So, as students of occultism, we have some access to these soul energies. We bring them down into this swirling, misty, darkened, distorted world of glamour, needing clarification and dissipation. And our group light is focused on the astral plane. And then we call for the spiritual will to strengthen our beam. We think about the areas of our energy system where that spiritual will comes from, and ultimately from the monad, and then from the atmic level, and through the egoic lotus in its various higher parts, and finally into our head center and the apparatus in the head where occult will is directed, from which it is directed. And we say, as we strengthen our beam with spiritual will, we say together, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. Together we're wielding this triple beam of light. It's a bit like the horn of the unicorn. Pretty much comes from the Ajna center. If we're looking for an etheric point of origin. And it's our weapon against these forces that are confounding the success of human living. And now together we utter the words of power and visualize the weakening and the dissipation of the glamour, the general glamorous condition, and the great glamour of hatred. We say together, as we visualize our weapon of group light doing its work, the power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of hatred from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour. Now, in your own way, however you want to visualize that, we're going to go into 5 minutes of silence and intensity of purpose, and we'll see in our own way that work proceeding. So, you use your own methods, but always identified with the group and helping to wield the group weapon of light, ensuring that the glamour cannot appear, that it's, the quality cannot affect humanity, and that there's no vitality to support those glamorous forces. And we might say, let all men love. Love takes the place of hate. Unity takes the place of fragmentation. And the oneness of humanity is revealed as the mantra of unification tells us, the sons of men are one. Let all men love. And we withdraw then our beam, our effective weapon of group light, back onto the mental plane. We turn off the symbolic searchlight for the time being. We affirm to ourselves that a little bit of work has been done to bring in love rather than allow hate to continue, even as subtle forms, to be perpetuated. We're not accepting that. Everywhere the manifestation of it is seen, people are persecuted because of their beliefs, because of their race, because of their nation. We don't accept that. And we sound the Om three times and see the clarification of the etheric, physical, astral, and mental vehicles. Only we'll do it in order of the mind first, working our way down, as is the occult method. It's as if the sun shines on all these levels. The sun of the soul, the sun of the triad, the sun of the monad, and onward, the sun in all of its symbolism until the one great identity is reached. Okay, friends, well, I want to thank you for attending this Friday meeting. Now next week, we've had the Virgo full moon. Tomorrow, our Soul of Nations meditation is at 8 o'clock, well, for us, 5 o'clock p.m. GMT. And then attracting money for hierarchical purposes, Sunday. Then we go to the morning schedule. And I'll be working with Brett and Joe and BL. And right now I know that we have the 8 o'clock at night glamour program really here in Finland, 8 o'clock, but 5 p.m. But we're going to make that uniform. If we have morning presentations, we'll do it in the morning, our morning, and if evening presentations in our evening too, to be consistent. And that will allow more people from different parts of the world to participate when they can. So next week we have the morning presentations. As I said, Tui and I have invited you, if you want to join us in another 45 minutes, in the chat box should be the service meditation for birth of Mary, you know, symbolically, the earth and the personality of the planetary logos and its purification and its rising up and infusion, rising up into the Christ nature and the infusion of the Mary aspect of the planetary expression by the soul, by the Christ aspect. We all have to do that. It's all part of our process, and we have to build our causal body. I dare say none of us has completely built our causal body, nor are we ready to trade it in for something better in a great accolade of fire. So we're still in the building process, and the Blue Rose Sisterhood is helping immensely, I think, with the building in of the qualities of the egoic lotus and the celebration of the feminine aspect of divinity along with the masculine aspect and their union. So maybe, you know, you want to become a Blue Rose Sister or a Shiva brother, you can attend tonight's service meditation broadcast if you like. Usually, as I say, these are just for the sisterhood, but this is an important date, and we'll open it up. Okay, and then again, just another thing to say, there are some of these broadcasting programs like Zoom, I think that's what they call it, Zoom, which are free. And so if you think that you would like to be speaking about glamour and maybe even just simply leading the glamour meditation for the nationals of your country who do not speak English, let us say, but, you know, speak your own language, then we can talk about how you might do that. You know, it's a big step, and not everybody feels yet qualified to do that. I don't know that I feel qualified to do it, but doing it because it needs to be done. So, you know, we've got to reach out and find the people who can help with the dissipation of glamour. And all of this is sponsored, you know, by the Moria Federation and the University and the Seven Ray Institute and the Blue Rose Sisterhood and, you know, all of our activities here in Finland. So from north of the Arctic Circle, under the polar star, we bid you a nice evening, a nice day, whatever you're having to do. And let us keep our radiation, protective radiation, as we stand in the light and don't move from the light, and help to bring the full meaning of the sun to the astral plane and eventually to the mental plane, and on we go. Thank you, and we'll be seeing some of you shortly. All the very best. Lots of love from Tuya and me and Olivia, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.